just to the bed. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This Wednesday is the Tea Party in Denver. In fact, at cities around the country, there's going to be a protest modeled after the Boston Tea Party. Not modeled after, but for the namesake of the Boston Tea Party, with people who are angry about the government's use of our money and very irresponsible, immoral use in the bailouts. You know, liberals, and you have to include George W. Bush in that and many other Republicans, but liberals are socialists at heart. They think the government has the right to do anything it pleases with your money. And so you think of liberals wanting to take money from the wealthy and to give it to the poor. But liberals are equally satisfied taking money from the poor and the middle class and transferring it to the wealthy. So multi-billion dollar bailouts of Wall Street firms and investment banks. So there are protests, people who are angry all around the country who are going, like in Colorado, it's the biggest protest will be downtown Denver at the Capitol, the state Capitol building. And I want to tell you about what's going to happen during that protest, during the Tea Party. There will be an effort by pro-lifers to explain that the great injustice in America is not that we're taxing ourselves at a horrendous rate. That is a big problem. It's not that we're spending our kids and grandkids' money that they have to repay. That's a big problem. But the bigger problem is that we are killing our own children. We have a decriminalized genocide, the murder of innocent children. And so there are pro-lifers around the country that are going to go to their Tea Party event with a Bible verse, Proverbs 16:8. And so I want you to think about that. What does Proverbs 16:8 say? Maybe you can look it up during the show. But pro-lifers are going to go to their Tea Party protest with signs, let's say Proverbs 16:8, and preferably with pictures of aborted children, children who are killed. So what does that Bible verse say? What does that Bible verse say? And by the way, the Tea Party itself, the Boston Tea Party, now if you look at Christian curriculum, Christian from a Christian school, American history, and they cover the Boston Tea Party. What will the teaching be? What is the moral, the lesson from the Boston Tea Party? If you look at Christian homeschool curriculum, what's some of the largest curriculum? If you look at Alpha Omega, Switched On Schoolhouse, AOP publishers, Alpha Omega publishers, when you look at their teaching of the Boston Tea Party, do they explain that the tea was private property? The tea was owned by individuals, and it was offered for sale to the British colonists. In this case, it was in Boston Harbor. And there had been a boycott of tea from England because of the tea tax that the king had put on the tea. People were refusing to buy the tea. And when was the Boston Tea Party? That was before 1776, right? A little bit before that. And there were 300 some odd men who dressed up as Indians, and they went aboard. Now, right there is a bit rude, right? That would be like KKK guys wanting to commit crimes in dressing up like blacks. Imagine that. Well, we'd see that that'd be pretty rude. Get some KKK skinheads, racist, who want to go downtown and cause a riot and vandalize some stores, and they paint themselves up as blacks. That'd be pretty rude. But anyway, these people from Boston, 300 and some odd men, they painted themselves up as Indians. They went onto private property, the ship, and they got 342, was it? 300 and some odd cases of tea, and they smashed up the cases and they threw them overboard. And so our Christian history books, in so many ways, are very populist, and they're defenders of the status quo. And if America does something, it's defended because they look at things through the perspective that the ultimate good is the U.S. Constitution, the ultimate good is U.S. history, the ultimate good is whatever led us to be in our position today. And so what they should realize is the ultimate good is God, and the ultimate standard is His law, and God said, thou shalt not steal. And so if we're a protester and we're angry at the government, that doesn't mean that we have the right to express our anger by destroying private property. You know how the anti-globalist, they will go wherever economic leaders are meeting and they'll smash the windows of a McDonald's. It's like, what are you doing that for? It's a McDonald's. What are you doing? Well, we're angry at the government, so we're going to destroy this private property. That's bad behavior. It violates thou shalt not steal. It's immoral. And so the Boston Tea Party, while it sent a message and it was a creative way of doing something, it'd be like if somebody's mad at the government today and they decide to burn police cars or bust Walmart windows and light a fire to Walmart because you're mad at the government for some reason. You don't like sales tax, so you go destroy a local hardware store. Is that good behavior? Is that Christian behavior? Is it moral or is it despicable? It is despicable. Frustration is understandable, but it's still despicable. And I point this out mostly to say that our Christian textbooks, our Christian homeschool curriculum, they don't, as you would want them to do, they don't take biblical principles to American history and jurisprudence as much as we'd want them to. So the Tea Party protest on Wednesday, there's a Bible verse that's going to be at a number of those protests, and it's Proverbs 16:8, and it's this: better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. And then with pictures of unborn children, what good is vast revenues with injustice? What good is it? So, yeah, we are concerned about the economic mismanagement of the government, and they kill babies. So put things in perspective and go to your local tea party with a picture of an unborn child in Proverbs 16:8. All right, now we're going to Michigan. On the phone is a great hero, a leader in America, one of the greatest, I believe, and if abortion is ended in our lifetime, it will be in significant part because of the work of Cal Zastro. Cal Zastro, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Cal, revival.
Revival. Praise the Lord. How are you, Cal?
I'm saved.
You're saved. You love the Lord. I love the Lord. We're trying to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and that you shouldn't kill the innocent for your own convenience or any other reason. You don't intentionally kill the innocent. And so that leads to a whole ministry, a Christian ministry, pro-life ministry. So I wanted to touch base with you. You and Keith Mason are the founders of Personhood USA. And I think, Cal, I think you're the two key people to get the signatures to get Colorado's Personhood Amendment on the ballot last year. So thank you for all that work.
Well, you're welcome. When do we get to do it again? Do it again.
By 2010.
Let's go. Let's go. I got some black pens.
You're ready, right?
I'm ready.
Hey, Cal, I heard a rumor. I hope it's more than a rumor that a neat thing happened in Michigan last week, and I'm wondering if I could find out the details and if my audience and I could Is there something to praise the Lord about, some intervention with a mom somewhere in Michigan?
We had a dramatic save last Saturday at the Saginaw Abortion Clinics while we were ministering.
Saginaw, Michigan.
Before the save, though, the abortionist Ron Nichols pulled up, and I preached to him, and he got angry, and boy, there were three police cars in the parking lot within the snap of a finger, and they threatened us and this and that, and you can't harass people and this and that, and finally they got tired of instructing us, and they drove away. And then a mom came out of the one of the abortion clinics. There's two of them in the same little strip mall. They have two owners, and so they compete with each other, but they're in the same building. What a nasty codependent relationship those abortion clinics have. Anyway, so a mom comes out. She stops at the driveway by the right-of-way where we're standing next to the curb and says, "I couldn't do it. Changed my mind." So my wife, Trish, and another sidewalk counselor, they took her out for breakfast. And they talked.
Hey, Cal, let me ask you this. Before we get, wow, they brought the mom out for breakfast, but how far into the process was she? Do you know? Did she just walk through the doors and turn around and come back?
She was on the table.
Oh, my.
She'd already paid the money.
Oh, my.
Yep, and she was on the table, and the abortionist comes in, and she says, "I just can't do this. I just can't. I got to stop. I can't do it." And according to her, the abortionist throws his hands up in the air and says, "Well, I can't force you to do it."
Huh.
And so he was upset. And then one of the abortionists...
In other words, he'd like to, but he just can't.
Right, right.
He can't force her to do it.
He can't hold him down and kill the baby at the same time. And the nurses have to do the holding down.
Hey, Cal, you know, when I go to the doctor, I get the visit, I get the treatment, the checkup, whatever, and then I pay afterward. The abortion clinics, they don't take checks, for one. They don't take checks. They prefer cash, and you better pay up front.
Yeah.
And this is because
most insurances cover it, too, so you can pay with a credit card, too.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, go ahead. So she was on the table. She told the abortionist.
She's on the table, ready to kill her baby. And the abortionist gets frustrated or upset and says, "Well, I can't make you do this." And so the abortion mill worker, they're not nurses. They're just baby killers that wear hospital scrubs and look like nurses, I guess.
Mm.
She says, "But you already took the Valium, so you have to, and you won't get your money back." And she's rude to her.
Hey, Cal, wait, let me process this. So it's because they believe they're pro-choice, and they believe that women should make these decisions, and the decision is between the woman and the doctor, that this abortionist assistant, dressed up to look like a nurse, she's just a child killer assistant, she says, "You already took the Valium, you got to do this, you can't get your money back?"
Yeah, how's that for choice?
It sounds like a typical child-killing center, all for profit to me.
Right, and she said that she wasn't allowed to look at her ultrasound when she had that done earlier. And also, then the abortion mill worker, not the abortionist himself, but the abortion mill worker told her, said, "Well, listen, you've already taken the Valium, and so, you know, you're going to have problems, and it's already, you know, it's already poisoned the baby." Now, the mom said the baby. I know that abortion mill workers never call babies babies.
No.
They call them fetus. They speak Latin. They're intelligent. They speak Latin, like fetus or embryo or zygote or something like that. They speak Latin and try to impress people with their foreign language.
Fetus, which means little one.
Right.
But, Cal Zastro, let me tell you a term they used to use, but because of you, they don't use it anymore.
What's that term?
They used to call the unborn baby POC, products of conception.
Right.
But because of the personhood movement and personhood USA and American right to life and Colorado's personhood amendment, they don't like to talk about conception any longer, and they lie, and they tell people that conception is implantation. That's just a lie. And so they don't like to use their own dehumanizing term any longer. Because of the personhood movement, they don't like to talk about products of conception. And so they prefer to use some other euphemism. That's even the wrong word. Just some way to dehumanize the baby. They don't call it the baby. So the mom called it the baby.
Yeah, the mom said it was the baby. And she just something happened. We were outside praying and interceding and crying out to God. And God just answered prayers and changed this mother's heart and turned the mother's heart towards her baby.
Did you guys
knew she couldn't kill it.
Did you guys have photos out there?
We did not. We did not have photos of that. And my wife didn't take photos when she took her out for breakfast.
Oh, Cal, I mean, did you have the typical pro-life protest pictures of the babies?
Right. We had some text signs that say, let us help you love your baby.
Oh, okay.
Adoption, not abortion. And then we also had a great big baby baby David picture, you know, the big aborted baby picture.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those out there, too.
So you had some typical pro-life signs that, you know, women driving in see these babies, and we're trying to make a connection with them that you're going here to kill your baby. Please don't do that.
Right. The problem in Saginaw and some places is the moms start coming at 5:30 in the morning and there's no lights. Their headlights will see the sign for maybe a brief 1/1000th of a second, something like that.
Mm.
And so what we do is shine flashlights upon ourselves when we talk to them. We have to stay back by the driveway and they're 100 feet or sometimes a little more away. And we call out to them. We shine the flashlights at ourselves so they see we're not just a stranger in the dark calling out. And
right.
We shine the flashlight on ourselves, and someone else will shine the flashlight on the sign, but they're usually not looking at us. They're usually scurrying in. Now, here's what happened. The girl, the mom, she also said that, you know, they called her just before she got there in the morning, and they called her and they said, there's some people out front, and, you know, just ignore them when you come in. Don't listen to anything they say. Just ignore them and hurry on in.
Mm.
So, I mean, if they call all the moms coming in and tell them not to talk to them, that shows us how effective it is for people to be out in front of the abortion clinics.
Yeah, you're right.
We also had two turnaways on Saturday morning. That's where somebody leaves before they kill, but they don't tell us anything. So we don't know if they changed their mind or if, or what, we don't know. But it was a turnaway because they came at the time when they scheduled abortions.
So that is different from the save, which is a confirmed save. Where
is when they tell us, as far as we know. I mean, who knows what happens a month or two down the road or
right.
the next county or whatever. We don't know. But if they tell us, I changed my mind, I'm not going to kill my baby, or we're going to keep it, you know, something, then we count that as a save. A turnaway is they just leave, but they're not in there long enough to kill.
Right. And
so we had two turnaways, one save, but three moms stayed in to murder.
A member of Colorado Right to Life, someone you know, Joe Scott, Ken and Joe Scott, they count the saves at the local Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, and for many years now, they've been averaging over 100 babies saved every year. And
yep, you just show up and cry out to God to stop the killing, and he'll do some great stuff.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, Cal, I don't know a lot about this story, but, you know, there's a ministry called Way FM Christian Radio.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And I heard reports today came into the Bob and Your Live studio that Way FM was dissing sidewalk counselors, speaking against pro-lifers who are the last line of defense for that baby and for the mother. And so we're going to look into it and get the details, and hopefully Way FM will correct themselves, assuming these reports into Bob and Your Live are accurate, because all these babies, I mean, Joe Scott alone, God working through Joe Scott, there are over 1,000 babies who were not murdered. That would be like during the Holocaust if Corrie Ten Boom had saved over 1,000 Jews, which she didn't. But she's a great godly hero for the Jews that she did save. But imagine Joe Scott saved over 1,000 babies from the doors of the abortion clinic, and you've got Christian groups that look down on her and the other pro-life activists around the country and criticize them.
That's very surprising to me, because when we were doing the Personhood Amendment petition drive in Colorado last year, I spoke with representatives from the way there in Colorado, and they were very supportive of the Personhood Amendment and pro-life.
Well, praise the Lord. So we'll look into that further, and maybe I should have looked into it before just mentioning on the air that we're getting these reports. But they have stations around the country in Denver, Colorado Springs, and Nashville, and so on. So, all right. So, Cal, this mom then, her baby is saved, and you said that your wife went out with her for breakfast?
Right. When somebody saves and takes their mind, we have the best pro-life OBGYN doctor in the Saginaw, Michigan area. I've got his pager number programmed into my cell phone, so I can get him on the phone right now and say, hey, doctor, are you in town today? Are you available to do an ultrasound for a mom? And if it's from me, he knows we're on the street at the death pit, and it's a matter of life and death. And if his schedule permits him at all, he'll meet us there in 10 minutes at his doctor's office and give this woman an ultrasound and talk to her and reach out to her that way.
Praise God,
but
Cal
try
Zastro.
And get him away from the pardon?
Praise God, Cal Zastro. That's just great.
Right. He's a great guy. But the best thing we found is get him away from the abortion clinic right now.
Mm.
Get him away and go take him out for breakfast. So my wife and another woman went and took this gal out for breakfast. And they talked, and that turned out to be a real blessing. She's a single mom with some challenges in her life, and she's just not making it financially. Michigan's economy is very, very depressed. Times are very hard, and she's got another little child. So we're trying to coordinate schedules for later this week so her and her daughter, her other child, can come over for dinner, and then that way my kids can help babysit her other child for free on some days when she has to work part-time. Besides going to school. So we're going to follow up and trust the Lord that we can not just save a baby, but save some souls and introduce them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. And Cal Zastro, again, thank you to you and Keith Mason for working so hard to get personhood on the ballot in Colorado. You guys are the founders of Personhood USA. And you and your daughter, if I have this right, are headed to China to minister for the Lord.
Correct. This is, I think, my 11th or 12th Bible delivery trip to China, and my 15-year-old daughter, Corey, her second trip. We will be taking in a team of 11, and we'll be having hundreds and hundreds of pounds of Chinese study Bibles that are in Chinese.
Hundreds
These are the
of,
ones that the pastors in China request the most.
Hundreds of pounds of Chinese study Bibles. And, Cal, you've had a ministry to China for many years. Our dear friend, Xu Yan Zhou, member of American Right to Life, underwent a forced abortion there and is now a godly Christian. She just became a citizen of this country just last week, Cal. So
praise the Lord.
Amen.
Another person rescued from tyranny.
Yes, that's right. And she is so very thankful for your reaching out to her countrymen there in China. And maybe people in the audience are interested in what you're doing. And who knows, maybe some of our audience members might join you on a future trip.
Come on. Well, there's 400,000 pastors in China, underground church pastors that are ready to live and die for Jesus.
Yeah.
400,000 of them that don't even have a Bible yet.
All right. So, Cal, you're leaving soon, and you'll be gone for what, 10 days or so?
No, we'll be gone for 2.5 weeks. We'll also be going to some unreached areas of China where there's some minority tribes, and we'll be doing some personal evangelism there with some of the minority peoples within China.
Praise God. Praise God for Cal Zastro and his whole family. So, Cal, I hope people will pray for you. I hope they'll go to personhoodusa.com to see what you and Keith Mason are doing. And then before we go, we got to go in a couple minutes. Hey, Cal, people are upset. The economy in this country is, of course, in a mess. But what if a nation, what if the money was just rolling in, like it's happened to our economy in recent history? What if the money's just rolling in, but we are systematically slaughtering our children? Does that mean really things are pretty good because even though we got legalized child killing, we're all getting richer?
Well, I believe this, Bob. God is going to stop child killing in America. He will stop it because it's such an offense to him. his plan A is to get his church to stop it, to come out by the thousands to the streets and surround these death camps and peacefully shut them down so they can't kill babies anymore, to win the people to Christ, to publicly confront sin, to change hearts, to change laws, to change courts.
Mm.
That's his plan, for his church to get up and obey him.
Well, child killing will be ended, just like slavery was ended, just like the Holocaust was ended. And so abortion, legalized child killing will be ended.
It will be ended.
Cal,
if the church doesn't get up and obey and end it, then God will do it himself. And while he's ending abortion, he will destroy this nation, the economy, the businesses, the culture, the courts. And, the church buildings right along with it. Everybody will be judged when this nation is judged by God.
Well, look at
the murdering babies and tolerating it.
Look at what happened in a Christian nation like America when we started our country with a constitution that acknowledged and regulated slavery. And look at the great devastation that came on America, including through our Civil War. And look at Germany with their Holocaust and the great devastation that came on everyone.
Right.
Including the churches, including all the apathetic, just the destruction, the cause and effect. You reap what you sow. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. So in Proverbs 16:8, God says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. And Cal, people are upset about the economy, but hey, we're killing kids. So that's
right.
That takes precedent. The outrage needs to be there, and also about taxation and socialist spending. But hey, Cal Zastro, thanks for joining us.
You know, upset about money.
Yeah.
But what about children getting murdered? Let's make the main thing the main thing here.
Let's make the main thing the main thing. Thank you, Cal Zastro. May God bless you.
Thanks. God bless you, Bob, and everyone else.
All right. PersonhoodUSA.com is Cal's website. And so if you can go to your local Tea Party, check it out. Go and bring a Bible verse, Proverbs 16:8. I saw some of the signs being prepared for the Denver Tea Party. And they say, what good is vast revenue? What good is vast revenue without justice? Proverbs 16:8. What good is vast revenue with injustice? Proverbs 16:8. And then pictures of aborted children. And so, you know, the Tea Party, of course, the Tea Party back in 1773, destroying private property because you're upset at the government, that's not exactly the right way to take out your frustration. And Christian curriculum, history books, Christian schools, homeschooling, they should teach history in the context of God's principles so that our own kids could grow up learning right and wrong. But that often doesn't happen. So you don't destroy private property because you're upset at the government. I realize it's a little radical. But these tea parties, hey, it's a bunch of people who are upset. There's plenty of reasons to be upset. Let's go and teach them. Proverbs 16:8, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And our website is kgov, kgov.com.